Anaheim is still there waiting for the official call. The two referees are about to get a decision. We'll say this from up here. I think we all agree, all four of us, that it was close. Very, very close. And the replay up on the screen there doesn't show really the time left, so we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, it's a little glitch. It was not matching the time on the clock with what the video was showing there on the Jumbotron. It's interesting because the St. Louis Blues, a good three-quarters of the team have went to their respective dressing room thinking it's a good goal. Here's a call.
After official review, the time expired when the puck crossed the goal and we have no goal.
It expired when the puck crossed the goal line. So that's a matter of what, inches? I don't know how you even diagnose it. We knew it was going to be tight. Boy, I don't know if I've ever seen a tight one like that with so little up on the scoreboard, and the Ducks are going to lose the hockey game by a 4-3 final, and it came down to the final tick of the clock.
Yeah, well, once again, the St. Louis Blues, they prematurely went to the dressing room, and whether they got word from their video coach that, hey, he deemed it a no goal, they must have just somehow found out prior to, of course, our knowledge. So tough break. Good guys lose this one in a very close fashion, and just another nail biter that was lost by the Ducks.
I have to tell you, in broadcasting games, no matter what level, I don't know if I've ever seen one that close at the end of either regulation or overtime, and that's why they have all the machines and all the people watching can judge, is it in, isn't, and then the officials call to the off-ice officials. So I guess they did everything they could to get it right. The final 4-3 for the Blues.
And the Ducks' third goal scored by Alex Killorn, assisted by Troy Terry and Frank Vatrano. So Troy Terry, a couple late helpers there, really turned it on. There's late, but just not enough.
No, it isn't. Disappointing. We've already talked about what's coming up next game Sunday, the New York Islanders. You're going to hear more about this one. Alexis Downey with Emerson Edom on our postgame show, and that starts in just a moment or two. Again, the final was 4-3. Want to thank Rick Cutler and our guy Vic Pett, statistician up here in the booth, and Jay back at Skyview in the state of Arizona. Tremendous job tonight. Hey, tremendous hockey game. That's what happens when you watch NHL hockey and when you see the Anaheim Ducks continue to improve, even though they fell a little short tonight. So the final, Blues 4, the Ducks 3. Stay tuned for our postgame show live from Honda Center with Emerson and Alexis. It's coming up next on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn.
Support comes from UCI Health, home of Orange County's first and only adult bone marrow transplant program with groundbreaking cancer research and world-class treatments. They stop at nothing for a cancer-free future. UCIHealth.org/BMT.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com and score big. Orange County's premier injury firm and official personal injury attorneys of the Anaheim Ducks. At Easton & Easton, our family of litigators has more than 100 years combined experience fighting the insurance companies in all types of injury accidents. With our family, every case is personal and handled by an actual attorney. Call to speak with an attorney today at 1-833-EASTONS. That's 1-833-EASTONS. Let our family help yours at EastonLawFirm.com.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com. To score big, official personal injury attorneys on the Anaheim Ducks.
Rent an all-inclusive party suite at a Ducks game. With generous food and beverage credit, reserved parking, and other amenities, you'll have everything you need to provide an unforgettable experience for your clients, family, and friends. Visit HondaCenter.com/rental suites today.
Support comes from UCI Health, home of Orange County's first and only adult bone marrow transplant program with groundbreaking cancer research and world-class treatments. They stop at nothing for a cancer-free future. UCIHealth.org/BMT.
Since 1894, Arrowhead brand 100% mountain spring water has been there for you with a natural, crisp taste sourced from springs in and west of the Rockies, refreshing our everyday moments. And now, proudly hydrating the Anaheim Ducks. Arrowhead 100% mountain spring water. Nothing else.
This spring, the world's best figure skaters rock the ice. Rock Stars on Ice 2025 Tour with world champions Ilya Malinin, Madison Chalk, and Evan Bates. Amber Glenn, Isabeau Lovito, Jason Brown, the legendary Elvis Stoiko, and more. Rock Stars on Ice, directed by Kurt Browning. Coming to Honda Center May 17th. Get tickets at starsonice.com.
Your SoCal Honda dealers are always looking for ways to help our community. That's why we have teams of helpful guys and gals in blue lending a hand all around SoCal, ready to provide random acts of helpfulness. And that's not the only place your SoCal Honda dealers are helpful. Every Honda dealership has sales teams ready to help you find your perfect Honda with a great deal. To find out more, click SoCalHondaDealers.com or search your local Honda dealer today.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com and score big. Orange County's premier injury firm and official personal injury attorneys of the Anaheim Ducks. At Easton and Easton, our family of litigators has more than 100 years combined experience fighting the insurance companies in all types of injury accidents. With our family, every case is personal and handled by an actual attorney. Call to speak with an attorney today at 1-833-EASTONS. That's 1-833-EASTONS. Let our family help yours at EastonLawFirm.com.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com. To score big, official personal injury attorneys on the Anaheim Ducks.
Hey everyone, Adnan Burke here to talk about our great podcast, NHL Unscripted, with Burke and Demers.
Jason Demers here. After playing 700 NHL games, it turns out I have an opinion or two.
Whoever's saying trade one of them, you don't know anything about hockey.
I'm on the bandwagon. I'm rooting for this team.
With new guests every week, we will talk about hockey and more.
Can't wait till you watch the movie because it's the biggest award of her career.
He went into the cheetah exhibit, the cheetah took a piece out of him, and he came into the ring the next day.
Tune into NHL Unscripted. Scripted with Burke and Demers on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the electricity out on the ice to the roar of the crowd in the stands, there's nothing quite like Anaheim Ducks hockey.
Terry backhand scores! Troy Terry!
And this season, you can be there live to cheer them on. As the official ticketing partner of the Anaheim Ducks and the NHL, Ticketmaster has you covered with the largest selection of seats at a wide variety of price points. So get off the couch and get into the stands. Grab great seats to see the Anaheim Ducks today at Ticketmaster.com/Ducks.
Anaheim Ducks hockey is brought to you by UCI Health. At UCI Health, we stop at nothing to prevent, treat, and cure cancer. Visit UCIHealth.org/stop-at-nothing. Stay tuned for Anaheim Ducks postgame show up next on DuckStream. You're listening to the Anaheim Ducks postgame show with Alexis Downing, exclusively on DuckStream, the official 24/7 audio network of Ducks hockey.
A very unusual ending here at Honda Center. The Anaheim Ducks not able to get a fourth goal in the final seconds to tie it up. The St. Louis Blues come away with a win at Honda Center 4-3 over your Anaheim Ducks. Welcome into the postgame show on Ducks Stream alongside Emerson Needham. I'm Alexis Downey. Emmer, it felt like this game just wasn't the best effort from the team overall. There were some moments, you know, they had a lot of power play opportunities, were able to execute on one of those, but overall, just wasn't the best played game from the team.
Yeah, I agree, and I feel like the last two games have felt very similar, right?
Mm-hmm.
The same jump that we saw this Ducks team have in Edmonton, we haven't seen that same jump not all of the last 120 minutes played, but you know, a good portion of it. It just seemed like they, after that Oiler game, just left it all out on the ice in that game, depleted, and they haven't found their rhythm. Now, there was, of course, times. You got to commend them for the comeback effort there at the end, but last two games, it seems as if the last five or so minutes they've really been able to turn the Jets on, and you just like to see that intensity in more portions of the last two games.
Comebacks won't always get you the win, and we've learned that, especially in these last two games.
Yeah, and once again, you got to commend them for their effort, but we'd like to see that same effort right out of the gate, especially at the start of these periods. Right out of the gate, St. Louis, nice passing plays, some sustained offensive zone pressure right away. It just seemed like they were at least more prepared there. Some of these starts of these periods, you just want to see more for the Ducks.
And it was an important game tonight as far as the wild card spots go out west. St. Louis able to get two more points to add to their case to try to make a wild card push. The Ducks, not so much on this end. So let's get into the highlights from this one. St. Louis able to get the first goal 2 minutes and 37 seconds into the game. It was a Toropchenko wrister, however, one that Lukasz Dostal probably would like back. The Ducks did answer back, though, and it was on the power play. Sam Colangelo redirecting Jackson Lacombe's shot from up top.
Here's a puck played along the near board. Back out high, Lacombe shoots, scores! Nice shot! A little bit of traffic in front of the net, and it beats Pennington cleanly. It might have been Colangelo that deflected the puck in after the shot from the blue line. And we'll go with that till we hear otherwise. It's a 1-1 game.
This guy, Sam Colangelo, is an absolute wizard around the blue paint. Yeah, there he is. Not only does he get the deflection, but he gets a quality screen as well. And just by looking at the replay, don't know if it hit off a piece of his equipment, shoulder pad, elbow. They don't ask how. It's a goal for the good guys.
I said it last game. I'm saying it again. Sam Colangelo is making the most of his opportunity here in Anaheim. We literally talked about that on the pregame show, just how he's been fitting in with that line. In this case, on the power play, though, right at the net front.
And most of the opportunity that he's seizing is right in his office. Right?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I said it earlier.
I liked it when you said it on the broadcast.
Okay. So too much there on the postgame show. All right. Enough with his office, but that is his office. Okay, that's the last time. But no, he's so good around that area, and it's just whether it was last game, which I didn't even – it took me a couple of views before I figured out that he eloquently turned around and tipped that one there in Vancouver with his twig. And look, like this – he's – that's his zone. He's turning into that Pavelski type, which – he just sees, and maybe that's not fully what his game was at the American League level, even though he had extreme success being in the All-Star game, so on and so forth. But it seems like he knows what's working for him at the NHL level, and he's just sticking to it, which it really shows that he's a mature individual. He knows what's working for him, and he's not veering off of that.
And he's got the size to be at the net front, too, something that head coach Greg Cronin talked about this morning. He's a bigger size forward, and for him to be physical in front of the net, it's only going to help him in the long run.
Yeah, he can skate. His rushes were great. Sometimes on the D-zone exits, there was a few turnovers, but it just seemed like that was the case for a lot of guys tonight. Mm-hmm. It just seems like the breakouts, and once again, you're missing Dumoulin. I think one of the better players or one of the skaters that best executed out of that the breakouts and the first passes, so that was a big loss, and it somewhat showed here tonight.
The first game for the team after the trade deadline, also for the St. Louis Blues, of course, as well, the trade deadline earlier today at noon. 1-1 game after the first period. We moved into the second. Braden Schenn would get the next goal for St. Louis, 2-1 game after two periods. St. Louis kept it going as they were able to get a third goal, and 3-1 game in the third. The Ducks down two goals. Trying to make a push, Jordan Binnington in the net. Great save on a passing play between Trevor Zegras and Leo Carlson.
Ducks desperately needing the next score. St. Louis can't clear. Anaheim to the net. A shot! Save by Jordan Binnington, perhaps his best one, certainly a key one for the Blues midway through the third period.
A beautiful give-and-go exchange between Trevor Zegras and Leo Carlson. It was back and forth. Leo takes a shot, and a beautiful glove save by Jordan Binnington.
Well, Jordan Binnington had a couple really nice saves in the third period, but that was just one of them.
Yeah, and it's sometimes it looks like he's playing street hockey out there. Somewhat similar to John Gibson in that kind of old school style of play. He can handle the puck really well. Even that one of those last clears where he just went behind the net. A few Ducks players were really pressuring him, and he lifted it high on the strong side glass. And that's a huge part of his game that's not often talked about as well. But yeah, it just, even when he made those glove saves, right, it's almost like he goes down into the splits and really theatrical with his saves. So you like watching it, not against the Ducks, and he was stellar here tonight.
Well, the Ducks were able to break through Binnington in the third period. It was Frank Vetrano down the middle. Beautiful pass by Troy Terry, 16:58 into the third.
Little backhand toss up the ice for Jacob Trouba. Fires in from the red line. Line continues to wind down here. A steal. Anaheim gets it. Scores! Frank Vetrano on a turnover for St. Louis. Fires it in. And the Ducks get right back in the game. Have cut the Blues lead to 3-2.
Now that was a big goal coming at a little late in the third, though. You almost wanted to see that a bit earlier. Maybe would have rejuvenated the group. Oh, we can't bring that word back after our trip in Buffalo.
Here we go. First, it's the office. Yeah. Now
we got to take that one back. Yes. But if you were listening in for the Buffalo game, you would understand that reference there. Emmer, just take it away.
Okay. Troy Terry, I think you were kind of waiting for more all game, but right at the perfect time, he just explodes and has a great finish to this game. Yeah, he was skating well at times. I think he was trying, but it just seemed like a lot of guys bobbled pucks, trying to control them. Some turnovers, as I mentioned. There was Sam Colangelo, and it wasn't just him, but just tough clears out of the D zone. And, yeah, it just seemed as if, regardless what happened earlier, Troy Terry just able to just explode, like I said, and he didn't shoot. I mean, I feel like 9 out of 10 times he gets to that position there in the slot area, he wants to shoot it, but it goes to show the vision, the IQ he has, and perfect drop pass, and good on Frank Vetrano just doing what he does. He has got a nose for the net right there and streaking down right behind him. He wanted that puck, and he got it, and he just perfectly placed.
There was a couple moments I felt like where the team hesitated to take the shot, and I don't know what the reasoning for that was, but I can think of a time in the second period down right in front of me, and I can't think of exactly who it was. Maybe Leo Carlson opting for the pass instead. You almost wanted to see him take the shot.
And really, it was the amount of block shots, right, for the St. Louis Blues. I mean, they finished this game 23 block shots, so
yeah.
AD, you and I think we'd be a little hesitant to shoot the puck as well if the opposition was blocking that many shots.
3-2 game after Vetrano's goal. Braden Schenn gets the next one. It's an empty netter. 4-2 game. However, the Ducks, Alex Killorn, 19-17 in the final minute of the game, gets the Ducks' third goal.
Here's McTavish. Gets the puck back. Out high. Drive there. Whistle wide. A shot. Then they score. How about that? They're within one with 42.1 left. And that time it was Alex Killorn beating Binnington. Hey, you know what? There's still 42.1 second left. And we look at the replay up on our screen. And the puck is fired in from the blue line, recovered side of the net, sent out in front, and Killorn was there to rock one by Binnington. Guess what? Ducks are right in this game.
Alex Killorn, nice goal there, right at the net front again. Maybe that's where the Ducks needed to be all night long.
It was fascinating just how on their toes they were, not only Troy Terry, but Alex Killorn, right? Because Frank Vetrano, I mean, that was a heavy shot. And it just seems like right off that bank, Troy Terry was ready to go and collected it. Quick pass right to Alex Killorn. And did that slide five hole? I was
it looks like it. Yeah.
I thought initially it went just here to the near side. But, yeah, it slid five hole. So in tight, it's just you almost close your eyes and just hope that thing goes in. And just a nice five-hole goal there by Killer and Tite.
Well, closing your eyes and hoping the puck going in was exactly what the team was doing in the final seconds of this game. Mason McTavish puts the puck home, but the officials review it. Time expires. Let's take a listen.
Here's 9 seconds left on the board. Killorn held it in. Ducks go after the puck. Ryan Strome fell down, goes to get the puck, feeds it behind the net in front. Lacombe whacked in, and the horn sounds. The Ducks signal that they score a goal, but I believe time expired before that. The referee kind of waved things off. We'll have to look at a replay. It's still 4-3 up on the board, St. Louis ahead. We'll get the call from the referee here. I believe it was after.
I'm thinking it's a good goal. Here's a call.
After official review, the time expired. When the puck crossed the goal line, you have no goal.
It expired when the puck crossed the goal line.
Well, we never got to see the time expire in the replay, so cannot confirm, but the officials got to see it, and really that's who makes the call. But
well, you didn't get to see it. I didn't get to see it as well.
And Honda Center didn't get to see it.
It was interesting because everyone was looking at the Jumbotron, so they did show the goal from MacT that was eventually called back, or at least they didn't really declare it a goal to begin with, but nonetheless they reviewed it. And as the officials were at the scorekeeper's box reviewing it, everyone was sitting with patience, waiting for this one to be concluded. And they showed it on the Jumbotron. But the timing in which usually the time on the clock, on the little digital clock, would match the video going on. But they had some weird number on it
yeah.
that was not matching the time.
42.1, no.
So we all saw it, but didn't match the time. So I think everyone left Honda a bit confused.
Just like me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just disappointing, really. I guess we'll leave it at that. But in the end, it was not a goal. Team not able to come back and get this one. And just a tough loss for the group.
Great effort, though.
Yeah. Great effort in the end. And that's what you want to see in the final seconds of this game. So final score at Honda Center, 4-3. In favor of the St. Louis Blues. Jack Daniels, the only good thing that comes from waiting is whiskey. Make it count. We'll be right back.
Your SoCal Honda dealers are always looking for ways to help our community. That's why we have teams of helpful guys and gals in blue lending a hand all around SoCal, ready to provide random acts of helpfulness. And that's not the only place your SoCal Honda dealers are helpful. Every Honda dealership has sales teams ready to help you find your perfect Honda with a great deal. To find out more, click SoCalHondaDealers.com or search your local Honda dealer today.
Support comes from UCI Health, home of Orange County's first and only adult bone marrow transplant program with groundbreaking cancer research and world-class treatments. They stop at nothing for a cancer-free future. UCIHealth.org/BMT.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com and score big. Orange County's premier injury firm and official personal injury attorneys of the Anaheim Ducks. At Easton and Easton, our family of litigators has more than 100 years combined experience fighting the insurance companies in all types of injury accidents. With our family, every case is personal and handled by an actual attorney. Call to speak with an attorney today at 1-833-EASTONS. That's 1-833-EASTONS. Let our family help yours at EastonLawFirm.com.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com. To score big. Official personal injury attorneys on the Anaheim Ducks.
Products that keep your business performing at the highest level. Solutions designed to streamline your team's playbook. And the expertise to help your business score big. Pacific Premier Bank, part of your team and the official business bank of the Anaheim Ducks and the Honda Center. Visit BBBI.com. Member FDIC. Much better than this.
Since 1894, Arrowhead Brand 100% Mountain Spring Water has been there for you with a natural, crisp taste sourced from springs in and west of the Rockies, refreshing our everyday moments. And now, proudly hydrating the Anaheim Ducks. Arrowhead 100% Mountain Spring Water. Nothing else.
The Anaheim Ducks are back on the ice, and this season you can be in the stands to experience it all live.
Terry backhand scores! Troy Terry!
Shop a wide variety of seats for every match from Ticketmaster, the official ticketing partner of the Anaheim Ducks in the NHL, and make sure you don't miss a single moment. And rest assured, if your plans change, Ticketmaster has you covered. You can securely sell your seats to other fans with just a few taps. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com/ducks.
Hey everyone, Adnan Virk here to talk about our great podcast, NHL Unscripted, with Virk and Demers.
Jason Demers here. After playing 700 NHL games, it turns out I have an opinion or two.
Whoever's saying trade one of them, you don't know anything about hockey.
I'm on the bandwagon. I'm rooting for this team.
With new guests every week, we will talk about hockey and more.
Can't wait till you watch the movie, because it's the biggest award of her career.
He went into the cheetah exhibit, the cheetah took a piece out of him, and he came into the ring the next day.
Tune in to NHL Unscripted with Virk and Demers on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back at Honda Center with the post-game show, bringing you coverage of the Ducks and Blues here tonight. And we're going to send it down to the locker room now to hear from one of the goal scorers, Sam Colangelo.
It's three goals in three games for you, all kind of the same fashion. What's the secret to that?
I'm a pretty big guy. Just try to get to the front of the net and find ways to score, I think. I have a pretty good shot, but if I can find any way to score, I'll take it in this league. It's a hard league to score in, and ultimately, just wish we could have got the win there.
You know, with only being with the team, back up with the team for only a week, do you get the sense of urgency with these guys that this is, you know, time kind of ticking down on playoff run with games like these?
Yeah, we need these points. But yeah, like you said, I think if we play with the same urgency we did the last 10 minutes, the result would have been a bit different. Start getting pucks back on the forecheck and sustaining some more ozone time. It's an urgent group. I don't think it was a lack of effort. I think it was a bit of a disconnected game kind of all around for both teams, and they were fortunate enough to capitalize on their bounces. And urgent group that we have in here, and I don't think we'll quit. I know we won't quit.
New power play units, you know, what did you make of your time on the power play? Obviously you score on the power play. What did you make the PP?
I thought we were pretty good in the ozone tonight on the power play. Just kind of standing in the net, taking a beating, but I think that's where goals are scored and got rewarded there. But I'm playing with it's a pretty young power play group. I'm one of the older guys on it with one of the least amount of games played, or the least amount of games played. But I thought our power play was good tonight. We were fortunate enough to get one. We talked about that this morning, and I think that we had some good chemistry, and hopefully we can build off of it.
You mentioned playing a couple of young guys on that line with Mason and Cutter. What have you kind of seen from them over the last couple of games playing with each other?
Oh, they're unbelievable players. There's a reason they're both top five picks. I think that we've been able to generate some offense. I think tonight we probably could have generated a bit more. Could have been a little bit more connected. We were in our D zone a little bit more than we probably would have liked, but we've been able to get on the board a little bit here, and hopefully we can continue it.
Thanks, Sam.
Thanks.
Sam Colangelo there speaking with the media. One of the things he mentioned, the young power play unit that he was a part of, something I noticed on that. I mean, you have Lacombe, Colangelo, Carlson, Zegras, and McTavish. All the young guys on that unit.
That's a young power play.
Yeah.
And I really, not only that point and what he thought was, I guess, at least a stepping stone for their trajectory to continue to go up and up, but just the disconnected, right? He used the term, it seemed as if the game was a little disconnected. I couldn't agree more, right? It just seemed like whether that disconnection communication-wise, just feel like timing-wise a little bit, passing, it just seems like maybe guys a little bit hesitant to find that jump to get it in those open spaces. And once again, I look back to the Edmonton Oilers game where they had the jump, they were fighting it to those dead spots, as I said, time and time again. But, yeah, there was just, you know, we didn't see that connectivity that we saw on that Troy Terry pass to Frank Vetrano, right? We didn't see that all game long. Mm-hmm. We saw it there, stretches a little bit late in parts of this hockey game. But I look forward to this Ducks team getting back to that consistent hockey.
They're going to need to when you look ahead to the stretch of hockey that they have coming up next outing on Sunday against the New York Islanders. But let's get over to the text line now. We have quite a few messages following this game here tonight. After St. Louis scored their second goal, they suffocated this Anaheim team. Anaheim got it together in the final minutes, but it was too late. Binnington had himself a game too, while Dostal had a rare off night. Also, Fowler had his best game at Honda Center this season tonight. It's just a shame it came when he wasn't wearing orange. Well, yes, a two-point night for Cam Fowler. We were just giving him some kudos during the break on the way he played in this game tonight and against the Ducks overall. But to the point of Dostal, a rare off night. Yeah, I mean, two of those goals definitely could have had back, that first one and then the third one for St. Louis. Just looked like it just trickled over his glove. He didn't secure it properly. And unfortunately for the Ducks, it did cost them a bit in this game.
This whole time reading this message and hearing what you just said, AD, I oftentimes feel that I'm kind of like a chat GTP where I just read these messages and then I dissect them all and I try to reword them the same exact message.
Because isn't it chat GBT?
Is it chat?
BT.
What did I say?
TB, but it's okay.
Okay.
Sorry.
No. I'll be better.
You got to get the AI correct.
I will be better. But I just feel like I'm capturing these unreal messages. We don't not get unreal messages.
Yeah.
We get unreal messages, and then I find myself taking it all in, and it's so spot on that I try to reword them, but it's like I can't reword them better. I mean, just a great message there.
Yeah. Another text here, that goal was in. That's it. That's my thought. Well, it was in, yes.
We don't know.
We never got the clock to, But also one of the other points on that, we were talking about it before the post-game show. Basically, the entire St. Louis Blues bench was already to their locker room. They were done. They did their handshakes with their goalie. They went to the locker room, which I can't say I like that.
Yes, and great point, AD. It's something you and I talked about and you brought up, and you're bringing it up again now. So it's a great point. Yeah, it's kind of like, say a team's up 5-0 and the opposition rolls their first PP unit for a 5-minute power play if they got it, right? It's just like, it's just some of the things that goes without saying, maybe respecting the game or, I could go on and on, but it's kind of like that. Teams really giving it to you and they just put out their top line for the rest of the game, right?
Yeah.
It's just something that, I guess we'll leave it at this. We'll remember it for next time.
And there is a next time, not too long from now, coming up in St. Louis. Another message here. A comment was made by one of the announcers about the Ducks playing sloppy the previous game. I told my wife they are just a little offbeat in that first period. Today, however, we are watching the Bad News Bears playing hockey, having only played well in the last 5 minutes.
You know what? There's a message from not tonight, but a while ago, and it just caught my eye. It says, embarrassing. I'm embarrassed to say I have never seen Bad News Bears. Can you imagine? Isn't that awful?
Uh-oh.
Isn't that awful? Yeah. It's awful. So I got some homework to do in the movie department. But, it was a tough night through and through.
Yes, it was. Not good for the Ducks on that end. Although, they did outshoot St. Louis in the end. You look at this, 23-22 for shots on goal. Didn't feel like it at points, but maybe some of those goals coming a little – or shots coming a little bit later in the game. Vic in San Diego, bummer we lost, but glad Pat Verbeek believes in this group. His lack of action today speaks volumes. Yes, the belief that he has in this group. He doesn't want to change it up, and I think he made it pretty clear when we talked with him following the trade deadline. The switch or the trade of Brian Dumoulin was difficult. He knew that was going to be a tough trade in the locker room. We felt that today on the ice, and now, you do like that he has that belief, and he was vocal about it.
I love that belief because, you know what, me being a Raider fan a few years back, fairly close, right, to and you blew up the roster. And now look where the team is at, right? So you just I can't stand when even it's just other teams have just something there, right? And they're so close, and they try to do too much, and then grass isn't always greener.
Yep.
Right? And I love that comment once again. And it couldn't be more true that Pat Verbeek, great GM, has made some fantastic moves through his tenure here. Got to trust the process. And, yes, we got to love. And I don't think just the fan base overall would have really appreciated a huge shakeup,
yeah.
right? Because, look, this is it's been a few years of struggles, right? And I think everyone has stuck together, right?
Yep.
I know everyone's stuck together. And it's one big family, and I think there were, especially the bigger names that arouse that have been in trade speculations here with the Ducks that were to have been moved, I think it would have been a little bit more of a gray cloud over Honda Center. And no, it's just we have, for the most part, yes, we're definitely going to miss Brian Dumoulin.
Yep.
And but at the same time, more opportunity for the young players. I think Pat Verbeek, that was his number one goal. They're getting more opportunity. No, it didn't start in the right foot as far as post-trade deadline games, but once again, we got to trust the process.
You talk about the younger players getting opportunity. What did you think about Olin Zellweger in his first game back after being a healthy scratch for five games?
I think it's a testament to him. Look, you know, you just said it, and I didn't even know it was exactly five games, but he misses five games. If you miss one game, if you miss two games, it's going to be tough, and he didn't look out of place, and I think that says it all. He got banged up quite a bit as far as he was making a nice escape, and then the player, and once again, the penalty wasn't called, or there was no penalty on the play. He was in that turning motion, so a little bit of a gray area there, but boy, he didn't stay on the ice. He got right back up, got right back into play. He left, midway through the game, somewhere around there, right? Got maybe a bump or two, a little zinger, and came back, finished the rest of the game, so he's just a tough customer. But you could just see throughout the neutral zone, right? His stick handling and his patience, right? He didn't just force plays. So that's going to be a huge addition as he gets reacclimated into just consistent play.
He's so fast when he skates through the neutral zone. You just see that burst of speed he gets out of the Ducks zone. And it's something that is welcomed back for the team to have him back in the lineup.
Yeah. Once again, it's the neutral zone play for me that I look back on his game, and there was a couple cutbacks in there, and just the way he moves his feet, always has his head up, right, while stick handling, it's fun to watch.
All right, we're going to take another commercial break, and when we return, we'll get back to the text line, some more thoughts on this game here tonight from you guys.
Sometimes rock and roll makes you want to take off your shirt and throw a TV out the window. Other times, you want to relax and take it easy. Sailing takes me away to where I will. For the latter feeling, head to Soft Rock Hits on TuneIn. Your home for exploring rock's shy, sensitive side.
It's you and me forever.
Search Soft Rock Hits to listen.
TuneIn's Coffeehouse Station is open for business. So pull up a cozy chair and start soundtracking your day with light acoustic classics from today's most soothing songwriters, like indie geniuses Bon Iver, soft rock newcomer Phoebe Bridgers, and acoustic legend Jack Johnson. All in a soul-warming rotation on TuneIn's exclusive Coffeehouse Station. Just search Coffeehouse on TuneIn to listen.
Hey, y'all, it's Garth Brooks.
Ever wonder what's on Garth's personal playlist? Welcome to the Garth Channel.
My music, my stories, and all my friends.
Haven't I heard from...
And some songs you might not expect.
R-E-S-P-C-T.
Then, from the Garth catalog, we got it all.
Thunder
The stories, The Garth Channel. Search The Garth Channel on TuneIn or tell your device to play The Garth Channel.
A chart-topping banger in the best way to bring good vibes to your day. And on TuneIn's Today's Hits, we've always got our finger on the pulse of what's hot in music. Like the latest tracks from Dua Lipa, Harry Styles, Bad Bunny, and so many more. Soundtrack your day with a full selection, today's hits. So check out TuneIn, the app that lets you hear your world.
Hey there, it's your friend Stormy Warren. Buckle up and join me every single weekday from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central right here exclusively on TuneIn. What can you expect from my show? Well, we're talking about and playing the hottest, freshest, and newest country music around, not to mention plenty of the biggest hits you already know and love. Just search the Big 615 or ask your device to play the Big 615 on TuneIn.
Tailgate Radio is your game day party station.
Playing all the anthems, like this one.
Tailgate Radio.
Try to keep up.
Hey, Scarf, from the football game to your backyard to camping to house parties, Tailgate Radio is your party station.
Tailgate Radio.
This might be a touchdown.
Search Tailgate Radio on TuneIn or tell your device to play Tailgate Radio.
All right, we're back with the post-game show. We're going to get back over to the text line. A few more messages here about this night. From Tony, number one, I'm heartbroken, but the two late goals show that this club has no quit. Number two, Binnington in net for us at the Olympics. He's totally on top of his game. Number three, Emerson, you mentioned throughout how good the Blues are moving without the puck, playing the disciplined East Coast style. From my point of view, it seems like with the Ducks, it's pawn hockey in the neutral zone, especially Terry and Zegras, and not generating many good chances. Is Coach Cronin drilling these guys in practice to be more methodical? Mike Keenan and Lou Lamoriello were taskmasters, but their guys scored goals and won cups.
Yeah, that's a great. And when I hear like methodical, it's interesting. I question at times when, you know, you just see the Ducks really are on the same page and have it figured out, and you kind of get these times where it's like, oh, you know, whoa, this is, and you see more stretches of players, you know, getting open or at least having a game plan and really sticking to it. And I tell you what, I look back to that Edmonton game, and they're really the whole game. But, I mean, we talked about the delays, right? The delay from Cutter to Mason McTavish, right? We saw very little, and we saw it with the Frank Vatrano goal on that pass from Troy Terry. That's the kind of chemistry and kind of the zero hesitation that you see in, or you've seen in previous stretches of play. And I'm going back to that Edmonton game, whereas for the full game, it just seemed like everyone knew where they were at. So, you know, and it's always a shared responsibility. The coach comes into a game, obviously X's and O's, has systems, has a task at hand. But it is interesting. I do find myself, just, and this is the most in-depth I can say without getting into too much criticism, is I do see the team really coming in together at stretches and really being on the same page. And really the line that I feel like is, it's the Sam Colangelo, Mason McTavish, and Cutter Gauthier line, right? Because it just seems like, you know, Mac tees that bull in the corner. Cutter, I mean, he's been pushing the pace up the rush and really moving his feet throughout the neutral zone. And then we all know where Sam's going to be, right? So they really kind of figured out their niche and how they best play, right? And I agree with the point. You would like to just see more in syncness for more consistent stretches. And even if they don't, like the play or the passing, or they don't score, right? You want to sit back and say, oh, I knew what they were attempting there, right? So I definitely agree with that message.
Thank you for the thoughtful answer on that too, Emmer. It's one of those things too where, you know, you're talking about the lines figuring it out. Coming into this game, really wanting to see more from that Terry Vatrano Strome line. Good that we did see that, but late in the game in this case.
Yeah, and even for them, right? Those high-end plays, as we saw at the end, they're typically making, when they're at their best, they're mm-hmm. making a lot more mm-hmm. than just that last stretch. So, good point.
Another message here from Fizz. Ducks can't leave it up to the refs. Got to be ahead at least 10 seconds before the end. Also, sriracha and mac and cheese. Did you ever try it? We had mac and cheese in the press meal tonight, actually. Oh. I don't even know if there was sriracha down there, but there had to be.
Okay.
Oh,
we
no.
We have mac and cheese at the house. We have sriracha. I got some homework to do. I know. I've said it over and over. I will make that happen.
Okay.
I'm going to make that happen. I'm going to have your answer for you here the next game. But to that point, I thought so much about my blown sriracha and mac and cheese. What was the...
Ducks can't leave it up to the
yes,
refs.
Yes, that's
gotta
true.
At least,
it's hard to play catch-up.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, no.
Sorry. Okay. It's hard to chase the game. It's hard to chase the game. And this Ducks team, yeah. You know what? Everyone really appreciates this team being in the lead and in command of games way more, right? We just remember so many here. Tonight's a one-goal game, but there were so many one-goal losses last season. But way more, as all of you are tuning in, listening on DuckStream or watching on Victory Plus, the games are so much more competitive. We're not chasing the game as much as the last six seasons, right? Mm-hmm. It hasn't been the case. More guys want the puck. More guys have the ability skill-wise to make plays. It's just a deeper roster, and we're seeing much more competitive games. But, yeah, you don't want to leave it up to so little margin.
Yeah.
Right? You want to come out. And once again, it goes back to the start to a lot of these periods. The better team, at least early on, right out of the gate, was St. Louis. It just seemed like they came out better each period. And, yeah, the Ducks, they just got to make some adjustments. They've got to look back to seeing how they took down the Edmonton Oilers. And part of it was that camaraderie, the patience on the ice, the just getting to the open spaces for one another. That was just a game I'll look back on and as the highest standard for sure.
That game was one of the best, if not the best, this season in terms of just the going into it. You knew that you had to get some points on that road trip, but to go into Edmonton and win in the fashion that they did, silence that arena, it gave you so much hope for this team. And when you look at the standings now after this loss tonight for the Ducks, still at 61 points. Well, St. Louis now 68, tied with Calgary, and Vancouver sitting 69, holding that wild card spot. So that's 8 points ahead of the Ducks. That's a tough margin to really meet.
The good news is a few games in hand, at least for Utah playing one more than the Ducks, and St. Louis playing two more now. It gives a little bit of room, but these are back-to-back four-point losses, right, if you think about it. I mean, these are teams that, look, you just, in the Western Conference, four-point games. These are games that you need to win, just based on who's in front of you, because they just take that leap, and you're left behind. It's almost, it's not like losing to an Eastern Conference team where, yeah, it has implications, but it's not like a team that's in front of you and you're
right.
Chase for the wild card, right? So these are 4-point losses back to back. They're just crushing. They're twice as crushing, to be honest with you.
Yeah, they are definitely, and also after coming on a day like this, following the trade deadline, it's hard to play on the trade deadline. I'm still surprised that the league continues to have games on the trade deadline, because it's just a tough day for players and for teams and everyone around the league to, go through that.
The Alexis Downey Initiative, have trade deadline day be off. And you know what? I've never heard that, and I like that, because you're right. It's not even – at the end of the day – there's more to it than just the business, right? Yes, it's a business. That's a number one. We get it. But family's involved. You're right. Teammates.
Yeah.
We heard Cam Fowler and how much he still keeps in touch. I didn't even know he kept in touch with the boys that much. Great to hear. It means that there's just a healthy, vibe going on, and people are treating each other nice, which is always great to hear. But, families are involved. Yes, kids. Changing schools. I mean, it is it's a lot to process for families. So, you know what? I like that point.
What is your final quack for tonight?
final quack is the Alexis Downey initiative that the trade deadline should be an off day. And that's my final quack. That's the first time I've heard it. I think it's very important that these players just, once again, get, I mean, less than 24, just one day to process it, take it all in, because maybe it's even going back to mental health and just it being at the highest level in anything, right? You pay the price somewhere down the line. Mm-hmm. And for this, being a top athlete in any sport, family time, lack thereof, it's tough. It's tough on the wives and the kids. And so I like that point.
NHLPA, you hear that?
Hey, I'm bringing it to the table. If you're not 80,
yeah,
I will.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I like it. My final quack for tonight, two more home games coming up on this little home stretch. You have the New York Islanders on Sunday, and then you have the Washington Capitals. So, as we keep saying, it's not going to get any easier. I think they really need to take tomorrow, which they're going to be practicing here at Honda Center, get a good practice in, get ready for Sunday, regroup, recenter. Now that the deadline's over in the past, just get ready for that next one.
Okay. Look forward to it.
You can join us next on Sunday. It's a 6 o'clock game, so we'll have the pregame show for you at 5:30 here on DuckStream. Usually we have 5 o'clock Sunday games, so the 6 o'clock's a little different. And reminder, it's also daylight savings on Sunday, so playing a factor into it, you're going to lose an hour on Sunday. Maybe why it's a later start. So if you want to stick around and listen to the replay of this game here tonight, you can after the commercial break. Otherwise, the final score at Honda Center, 4 for the St. Louis Blues, 3 for your Anaheim Ducks. And alongside Emerson Needham, I'm Alexis Downey. Thank you for joining us here on the postgame show. We'll see you Sunday at 5:30, same place, different time, and hopefully a rejuvenated Ducks team as well. Have a good night.